Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
We've been talking about living by divine design, living out God's purpose and plan in your life. We started in Jeremiah 1:5. God told Jeremiah, before you came out of your mother's belly, I knew you and I ordained you. I called you to be a prophet unto the nations. God has a purpose for every person. God's will for every person is number one, to be saved. Number two, to come to a knowledge of the truth. But then God has a very specific will for each individual believer. You know, how do you find out what that is? Well, number one, you come to know Jesus, right? And then you start believing his word. Develop a relationship with Jesus. And as you develop a relationship with his word and his Holy Spirit, I believe that he will lead you into his perfect plan for your life, whether that's to be a farmer, right, a school teacher, a doctor, a welder, an engineer. My son Andrew's an engineer. He's doing really, really well. But he said, Daddy, these pipeline welders, they make a lot of money. Amen? But God can bless you wherever you're at in life, and God wants to use you in his kingdom. Amen. To be a blessing to the body of Christ and to be a blessing to his cause. Amen. There's a cause that we live for that's greater than ourselves. Amen. The second message, we moved into Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through verse 8. And it says this, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, therefore, what? So walk ye in him. Rooted, built up, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So God wants you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. But he didn't stop there. He went on in verse 8 and he said, beware lest any man spoil you, cheat you, rob you, take from you that which is rightfully yours through philosophy. You know what? There's philosophies. There's a philosophy of the world, and there's philosophy that comes from the word. And if you want to move into what God has for you, you're going to have to believe the word. Right? Through vain deceit, empty deceit, Satan comes to deceive. You know, Satan's only real power is deception. And he tried to rob you of what's yours. Through the tradition of men, Jesus said, by your tradition, you make the word of God without effect. In Mark chapter 10, I think, or chapter 7. It might be Mark 7. 7 or 10, one of them. Amen? Must be Mark chapter 7. But then he said, and through what? The basic principles, the rudiments, the basic principles of the world and not after Christ. There are things of the world and there are things that of God. And you, if you want to move into what God has for you, you don't get that through the world. You get it through your relationship with Jesus again, your relationship with the word and the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Then last week we studied in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through verse 24. And we talked about, first of all, the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. Right? And we said there's two problems that people face in fulfilling what God's called them to do. Number one is if they're unregenerated. You must believe on Jesus. Jesus said it this way, you must be born again. Born again is not talking about church membership. Born again is talking about a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He said, you must be born again. He says, marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh, there's a physical birth, is flesh. That's the outward man. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the inward man. You have an outward man and you have an inward man. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, you has he quickened or made alive who were dead. You were spiritually dead before you believed on Jesus. But when you believed on Jesus, you became a brand new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It goes on to say, and all things are of God. Everything in your born-again spirit is of God. So you're unregenerate. The second problem we said is you can be born again, but you can have an unrenewed mind. So if you continue to think like you've always thought, you'll continue to have what you've always had. So that's why a lot of people in the world, even though they've been born again or in the church, they're saved, but they're not going anywhere. And they don't really look a lot different than people in the world, right? Because they've never renewed their mind. So two things. Born again is immediately when you believe on Jesus. When you're born again, your spirit changes immediately. But mind renewal is a process. And it's like a lifelong process. Do you know what? I've had major revelation in my life last year. I've been born again for over 50 years. But last year I had a major revelation, and it is revolutionizing my life. It's like, wow. Barbara's like, this is amazing. You're doing so good. Hallelujah. I got some revelation. Do you know? And you've got to keep renewing your mind. And do you know, if you don't continue to renew your mind as a believer, you can go backwards. This spiritually speaking, you're either going forwards or you're going backwards. You're either pressing, right? Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're either moving into that or you're not. You can slip back. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, you know, beware lest anytime those things that we've received, we should let them slip. We should drift away. One translation. You don't want to move away from Jesus. You don't want to let them slip. You want to hold on and press into what God has for you. Amen? Now, the first thing I want to share today, let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is not unreasonable. This is reasonable. He says, and do not be conformed. To be conformed means to be poured into the mold or follow the pattern of the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the very first thing he says is, I want you to present your body a living sacrifice. The second thing is, he says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the third thing is this, it's so that you can prove or walk out God's will in your life. Amen? Now, I have four questions that I'm going to attempt to ask you today. The first one is this. What is the greatest challenge in the believer's life? What's the greatest? Think about the greatest challenge that you have. If you're here in first service, don't answer. What is the greatest challenge of the believer's life? Same for every believer. What is the greatest challenge that anyone has as a believer? What is the hardest thing? The greatest challenge in the believer's life is getting what is on the inside of you to the outside of you. Amen? So let's put up diagram one. We talked about this last week, right? So I was born again when I was 8, and then I was 14. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to find out who I was in Christ. So shortly after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, we had a guest person come to teach the Bible study, and a person taught spirit, soul, and body like those three circles on the inside. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul says, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we heard this teaching, I am a spirit. Everybody say, I am a spirit. I possess a soul. And I live in a body. The real you is who you are in the spirit. And if you get a revelation of this teaching, it'll transform your life. Amen? Now, when he taught it from this perspective, and then he explained that an unbeliever in their spirit, darkness rules the spirit of an unbeliever. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, out of the heart, right, proceeds evil thoughts, murders, fornication, right, adultery, all these evil things come from the inside. So if darkness is ruling in your spirit, then you, the best you can kind of get is gray coming out on the outside, right? But then on the other side, we've got a believer. Now, I said there's two problems, right? The number one problem is if you're unregenerated or you've never been born again, you haven't believed on Jesus. And like I say, it's not church membership. It's a personal relationship with God through Jesus. And in that scripture, in Ephesians chapter 4, after he talks about what an unbeliever is, he says this, that we have received the truth. We've been taught the truth is in Jesus. So you've got to receive the truth of the person of Jesus, right? So I believe that Jesus Christ, number one, is the Son of God. I believe, number two, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And I believe, number three, that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day and made him Lord. That's the heart of the gospel. I could go more into it, but I'm going to leave it there. Let's just keep it simple. Okay? So when you believe, your spirit is made alive and you go from darkness to light. And in your spirit, you have the life of God. You who were dead in trespasses and sin has he made alive. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And notice that the spirit, it's like the light of God. It's shining on the inside of you. If you renew your mind, we said the number two challenge, right, is an unrenewed mind. Because if you don't renew your mind, you can be born again in your spirit. If you die, you'll go to heaven. Because your spiritual condition determines where you spend eternity. And you're either born again or you're not born again. Right? But if you never renew your mind, you still will look like, act like, talk like, just a lot like the world. You won't see a lot of difference. But if you begin to renew your mind, you'll begin to see the light, love, life of God, all the good things of God that are in your spirit flow through your soul to your body. Amen? And so we said, what is the function of the spirit? We said, the spirit, the function of it is intuition, right? Communion, fellowship with God, and conscience. That's the function as a whole of your spirit. The function of the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And that's what he's talking about. He says here in Romans 12, 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the greatest challenge of any believer, again, it's not your husband, it's not your wife, it's not your children, it's not your parents. It's not your physical condition. It's not your financial condition. The greatest challenge for any believer is getting what's on the inside of them to the outside of them. Amen. Now, he says that when we renew our mind, we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. All right? So that word transformed is actually metamorpheo, the same Greek word comes out of it, metamorphosis. What happens when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly? Metamorphosis. So do you want to keep looking like a worm all your life? Somebody said no. You want to move into what God has for you. It's a lot prettier, right? It's a lot better. And it's an amazing change when you renew your mind. Praise God. Do you know there are people that used to identify with me in one way? They would actually make fun of me and say different things about me. People in my church in Kit Carson, spiritual leaders that I know in this area. But there's a change that happened in my mind. And even so, though some of these people would make fun of me, and say different negative things about me. I knew that my mindset had changed. So it didn't even really bother me when I renewed my mind, because I thought, they just don't know the change that's happened in my mind. And in a little bit, those same people related to me in a totally different way. Because as I renewed my mind, you begin to see the things that I had in my spirit begin to be manifest in my body, right? And people like didn't relate to me in the old way anymore. Amen? And this is part of what mind renewal does. So when you think about it, as we look at this, we're to present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, right? The greatest challenge a believer gets what's on the inside to the outside. But we read this scripture last week, Philippians 2, verse 13. It says, God works in you, that's in your spirit, both the will, the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions, right? All three of those, and to do, that's in the body, his good pleasure. In your spirit, you have all the good things of God. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says this, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. So in your spirit, you have everything you need to be everything God wants you to be. It's already there the moment that you're born again. But it says he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus. And that word knowledge is not talking about book knowledge. It's talking about an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. Guess what? I know one person in this room better than anyone else. Her name is Barbara. We've been married 41 years. Barbara knows me, right, better than anyone else in this room because we have a relationship with each other. So we're not talking about head knowledge. We're not talking about a church membership. We're talking about born again, a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, a personal, intimate knowledge. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 4 says this, whereby or through our relationship with Jesus is given to us exceeding great and precious promises. What's your attitude towards the word? You know, your attitude towards the word determines the place that God holds in your daily life. So thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I've esteemed the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. Your words came to me and I ate them and they became in me like a burnt consuming fire. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So it's the word, right? And when you're born again, then the word comes alive to you through your relationship with Jesus, whereby 2 Peter 1 verse 4 are given to us. Exceeding, what's your attitude towards the word? Great and precious. These are great and precious promises. Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. You know what he's saying? The Bible that we have, that at that time it was the Old Testament, is more sure than Jesus standing in our midst and God speaking from heaven and Moses and Elijah being transfigured with him. You read 2 Peter chapter 1, that's what he's talking about. If you become that adamant about the word, if it becomes that alive to you, it's going to change your life. Amen? So we've got to begin to let the word direct our life instead of the world. I said this last week. I said we can direct our mind. Now, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. And I actually believe that thing begins in our spirit. But you renew your mind in the word comes alive to you. And you'll see the change in your life. So that's one scripture. Here's another thing, okay? So when you're born again, you've got it all in you. His divine power has given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this. It says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Where's that at? In your spirit. So the chat, when you're a believer, right, you've got all that in your spirit. You got the blessing of God in your spirit. You've got every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in your spirit. You have all things that pertain to life and godliness in your spirit. You have the righteousness of God. You have the goodness of God. You have the love of God. You have the life of God. You have the light of God in your spirit. But you've got to get it from your spirit to your flesh. The other scripture is this. Those things, when you're born again in your spirit, are like in seed form. 1 Peter 1:23 says this. Being born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible seed, by the word of God that is living and abiding forever. How did you get born again? By the word. You heard the word about Jesus. You believe the word. So when you believe the word, you're born of the spirit and born of the word, and you have a brand new spirit, and the word of God has taken residence on the inside of you. But it's in seed form. Guess what? A farmer might have a granary full, might have 1,000 bushels, a semi-load of seed in his bin. But it's not going to produce a harvest until he plows the field and prepares the ground and plants the seed, right? And if it's irrigated ground, you got to irrigate the seed. And you got to take care of the weeds. And it's going to take some time. Because it's not automatic, right? So you have everything you need to succeed on the inside of you the moment that you believe on Jesus. You have everything that you need to fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life, to fulfill your divine destiny on the inside of you the moment that you believe on Jesus. I actually believe when you're born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, the ministry on the inside of you, full grown. But then it takes a lifetime to walk it out. And I believe we're all ministers of the gospel in one sense or another, okay? And I can give you scripture, but I'm not, okay? So it's in seed form. So a farmer can have everything he needs, right? But he's got to get the seed out of the bin. He's got to plow. What's the ground? Your heart is the ground. And in your heart is a combination of your spirit and your soul. He's got to plow the ground. He's got to prepare the soil. He's got to plant the seed. The seed has to be watered, whether it's the rain of heaven or irrigation. You got to keep the weeds out. There's weeds, right? The cares of this world, the lust of other things, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and make it unfruitful. But the good ground brings forth fruit. Mark 4:20, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. I'll probably get back there in a little bit. Amen? But you got all of it in you. Now, how does that get to working? Well, he says this, the greatest challenge, get what's on the inside to the outside. But the next question is this, what happens when we renew our mind? What happens? What's the Bible say right here in Romans 12:2? What happens when you renew your mind? Tell me. Transformation happens when you renew your mind. You go from death to life. You go from darkness to light. I'm talking about not on the inside now. I'm talking about on the outside. You go from lack to provision. You go from anxiety to peace. You go from sickness to health. You know, I had a dad call me last year, and he said, I don't know what we're going to do. My daughter's been diagnosed with MS. And I said, I tell you what we're going to do. You're going to bring her down here to the church, and we're going to lay hands on her, and we're going to anoint her with oil in the name of the Lord, because this is what the Bible says we do. We're going to call the elders of the church, and we're going to pray for her, and we're going to believe God to heal her. Now, we've been about a year. Okay, now her first tests that they did were like everything said, like 5 different tests, MS, 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 all the way down. Her next test said like 2 said MS and 3 said not MS. It might have been 3 and 2 the other way. but it was better. And she's been believing the word and speaking the word. So she came last week and said, pray for me. I'm going to get an MRI. They're going to test me. And I believe I'm healed. So we agreed with her. So she got her MRI this last week and she came and she said, there's no new lesions on my brain. And whatever, somewhere else, there's no new lesions. So basically, the disease has completely stopped progressing. And she said, I am healed. Now, I'm believing with her that there's a day when she's going to come and she's not going to have any lesions on her brain. And any, amen. And I'm telling you, she's a whole lot better physically in the outward realm than she was. Amen. That's Bob Hellum's daughter, and we're agreeing with her and believing with her. And I was going to announce this and forgot. But since we forgot, and we forgot to tell all our volunteers, but Carol Hellum, Bob greets at the front door when you come in here. He's done that for years. They came right after we started the church. Carol was my first bookkeeper at the church. She kept the books for at least 7 years, maybe more. They were on the advisory board of the church for over 10 years. Total blessing. Her service, we're going to hold her funeral here Tuesday at 2 p.m. in the chapel if you want to come, okay? So I'll announce it, and we're letting all the volunteers know. I usually don't announce those, but since we forgot, I'm telling all of you, okay? And we're going to have a big life celebration. Yes. Carol was an amazing, amazing person. Praise the Lord. And when she came in, she lit up the room, and she wasn't afraid to tell you what she thought. You knew exactly what Carol thought. She's a very special person. Okay, I wanted to tell you that because I forgot. Okay, so when you renew your mind, okay, now put up diagram two. This is what happens. They'll put up another diagram, okay? So this is another diagram of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. I am a spirit, I possess a soul, and I live in a body. Notice the soul I put is the bridge to better living. So when you're born again, God is living in your spirit, and you have all the life, light, love, good things of God in your spirit. But as you renew your mind in the word, what happens? Transformation, right? Metamorphosis happens when you renew your mind and you begin to see the things that are in your spirit in your body. Notice that I also have this down here on the bottom, germination, gestation, and harvest. Remember, I said when you're born again, you have all the good things of God in your spirit, but they're in seed form. But before a seed becomes a harvest, it has to germinate. Right, Abraham had some words from God. They took over 25 years before they came to pass. Amen? Generally, the greater the harvest, right, the longer time it has to, you have to have in gestation. For instance, an elephant is in its mother's womb a lot longer than a puppy dog. Because you got a little puppy dog, got a big elephant. Okay? The gestation period, like I know cattle are like 9 months. They're like a human. Horses are 11 months. I know cattle and horses because I grew up doing that. Okay? But, okay, corn. Let's talk about corn. How many have been eating some corn on the cob lately? We've had some great corn. I love corn on the cob. My little Ada, my four-year-old granddaughter, loves corn on the cob, amen. Take those, boil them 9 minutes, put a lot of butter on them, a little salt and pepper, and oh, it eats so good. All right, so corn on the cob. You got 100-day corn, you got 120-day corn, you got 150-day corn. What happens if you go out in a cornfield and pull an ear off at 60 days? And it's 100-day corn. What happens? You pull the tassels back, there's no corn. Because great faith comes, Mark 4:28, right? First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. They asked Smith Wigglesworth, how does great faith come? First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. In other words, it's a process. It's a process of getting it from your spirit through your soul to your body. The greatest challenge we'll have in the Christian life is getting things from our spirit to our body. The soul is where the gestation period takes place. Corn might be 100 days, 120 days, 150 days. Some things that God speaks to you might be 25 years. And so where is the battleground? Where's the battleground for the believer? In your mind, right? Satan's going to attack you in your mind, right? And your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So what you've got to do is you've got to renew your mind with the Word of God. And I'm going to talk about what renewing your mind really looks like. So when we renew our mind, we're going to have transformation. Right, 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says, remember, we're born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, once you're born again, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And you're either growing or going backwards, so you need to keep growing. James 1, 21 says, receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. How many of you are going one direction and then all of a sudden somebody will come and share a scripture with you? Or you'll hear somebody preaching in a scripture, right? Or you'll be reading the Bible and all of a sudden, bam, it hits you and you're like, man, I am totally wrong. Listen, if you're going a different direction than what the Word says, you need to repent. And repent means one aspect of repent is just change your mind, just change your thinking, just agree with what God says. So take a meek attitude towards the Word of God. There's some things I preach that a lot of people don't like. You know what? I don't care. You know why I don't care? Because my relationship with God and my relationship with His Word is a lot more important to me than what people think. Amen? And if you're coming to me and you're telling me something that is totally contrary with what God says in His Word, I don't care. Amen? Barbara will tell you that's true. Amen. So receive with meekness the engrafted Word that's able to save your souls. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you know the problem with the first Adam? The problem with the first Adam was this. He was a living soul, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The second Adam, Jesus, was a quickening, a life-giving spirit. Adam got in trouble because he was living by his brain rather than living by his spirit. That's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit. I've given you some examples before about how I wanted to buy some cattle, and it looked really good on paper. I asked Barbara 5 times, and she said no. Finally, she said, I'm going to let you do this, but I'm going to go down telling you I don't feel good about it. And we had 100 head of cattle stolen from us. The guy stole them. We'd been dealing with him for 5 years in Nebraska. He took them to Kansas where they don't have a brand law and sold them and went to the beach in Mexico and drank tequila for 2 years. It was so good, I only lost $15,000 by the grace of God. Because we had 300. And I was partnering with the feedlot manager. Woo. Well, my wife heard the Holy Spirit. I did. I was living by my soul rather than by my spirit. She was living by her spirit. So husbands, listen to your wives. God gave them to you for a reason. Amen? Now, germination, gestation, and harvest. Mark 4:13 says that if you can understand the parable of the sower, you can understand the kingdom of God. Mark 4:28 says, this is how it works. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Now, how does mind renewal work? What happens when you renew your mind? In other words, how does it work? How does it work? It changes, first of all, how you see God. Do you know a lot of people don't see God for who He says He is? So the first thing that's got to change is how you see God. The second thing that changes, it changes how you see yourself. What happened to me when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and heard the full gospel message preached? Well, one of the first things that happened is I began to see who I was in Christ, that I was righteous, that I was redeemed, that I was sanctified, that I was wise, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, that I'm a new creation, that I'm blessed, that I'm favored, that I have everything I need to do everything God called me to do, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that is God who works in me both the will and to do his good pleasure. Amen? Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. I begin to see myself and I begin to see God for who he is. He's good. He's my provider. He's my healer. He's my peace. He's my righteousness. He's my protector. He's my sanctifier. He's my ever-present help in a time of need. That's what the Bible says God is. So I begin to see who God was, begin to see who I was. Then I begin to see other people the way God sees them. We need to see other people the way God sees them. Not only did I begin to see that, I began to see potential in the world around me. I'm no longer a victim. I begin to see potential everywhere. Everybody say the potential principle. It's Christ in you. That's what happens when you renew your mind. See, Jesus gave us one scripture, and I want to share this one scripture in Matthew chapter 6. Before I go forward, I'm going to finish really quickly. But in Matthew chapter 6, I want to show you one scripture. It says this in verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single, your whole body shall be full of light. You know what happens when you renew your mind? It changes the picture on the inside of you. And if you can change the picture on the inside, guess what? The picture on the outside is going to change. Guess what happened to me in 1998? I was invited to go to Billy Epperhart's church because we supported certain missionaries and Mark Hankins was preaching. When Mark Hankins preached, I was very offended. He offended my religion. You know why I was offended? Because he was talking about buying his wife a new luxury car. And it stretched my religion. When we left, we went to McDonald's. It was me and Barbara and Aaron and Andrew and Peter. And you know, Billy put us up in a hotel, a very nice one, and paid for our meals the whole week. But we drove home. We were going to go on my expense. So I went to McDonald's. Quarter pounders with cheese were two for $2, and you could get a meal for three. So I bought one meal and four quarter pounders of cheese, got four waters, and then I went to the bathroom. When I came out, here's my quarter pounder and cheese with the French fry box and one French fry. And my water, I don't know who got the Pepsi or Coke, whatever it was. And I've been telling Barbara, I just don't know what about. But see, she had to live with me. And I was hard to live with. Heather, you ain't seen nothing. I mean, all them things and people said about me, the Hispanics that came from Mexico said he's tight. Now, if the Hispanics that come from Mexico call you tight, baby, you tight. Aaron's wife, Rachel, her daddy said, Pastor Lawson is so tight, he doesn't only get Lincoln's face off the front, he gets the memorial off the back of the penny. And I didn't care, because I was. But then I had a change in my mind. And it's changing where I'm going. Now I'm offending people on the other side. Now I'm like Mark Hankins, and I have Mark Hankins come preach for me every year. Because I've had major revelation that's changing my life. So Barbara said, we were driving home after that, right? And she just looked at me. I said, where's my friend? You can be a one French fry man if you want to, but I believe God has more. So we're driving home. I'm still saying, I think he's wrong. She's like, no, he's right. You're wrong. You need to get over it. So I preached Sunday morning. Monday morning, I got up early and went running. And the Lord said, Mark's right, and you're wrong. You need to get over it. So I got over it. And I began to have these thoughts. 1998, initially offended, I began to have these thoughts. If I can pastor a church of 100 people and give away $50,000 a year to missions and other ministries, I can pastor a church of 1,000 people and give away $500,000 a year to missions and other ministries. And that happened in 2016, and it's happened every year since then. It took 18 years. Germination, gestation, harvest. Gestation took a while. Do you know what? The other day, I increased my personal giving. And Barbara and I give a lot more than 10%. But I increased my personal giving. When I did it, God dropped in my spirit where the church is going financially. And it's way beyond what I was thinking. I was thinking addition. God was thinking multiplication. Guess what? When God dropped that word in my spirit, I got a whole new picture of potential. I'm like, wow, Jesus, that makes this possible. That makes that possible. Wow. I think Jesus has some wow things for everybody in this room. But if you don't renew your mind, you're never going to get there. Now, one more question. What is proving the goodwill of God in your life? He says, do this that you might prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What is it? What's it mean to prove it? Somebody tell me. Walk it out. Got it. Perfect. You got to walk it out. You know, I met with a pastor the other day, and they gave me this big vision sheet. And it's a big vision, right? But he said, now I want you to read through this. And I was giving them some practical application steps for where they are today. But you know what they got to do? They got to walk it out. And sometimes when you're walking out, you're like, you know what? That was me. This is God. That was my soul. This is my spirit. But as you walk it out, you prove it out. Remember the scripture? Mark 4:20. These are they which are sown on good ground, those who hear the word and receive the word and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So what is the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God? What's a 30-bushel wheat harvest in Kansas on dry ground? Herb? Well, 30 in Colorado is good. 30 bushels better than nothing, right? We had 20 bushel. We thought if we got 20 bushels, a decent harvest in southeast Colorado. 30, good. 60, acceptable. Now, we get to irrigated ground, right? You get to Burlington, Colorado, more rainfall, little irrigation. 100-fold. That is the perfect will of God. I believe 30, 60, 100-fold. Good, acceptable, perfect will of God. I believe the 100-fold life is fulfilling 100% of what God called you to fulfill, going where God wants you to go, doing what God wants you to do, and accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish. Amen? My conclusion is really simple. Amen. Change the picture on the inside, and the picture on the outside will conform to it. The picture on the outside will change. God bless you. I love you.
Thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.